Anyway, well, I can't remember. Well, I missed you this morning, and I was over in Columbia City this morning with those folks over there. And so Dan was here with you guys, and hopefully all went well. I believe we had a good time seeing some of them. We haven't seen them in a while, so it was always good to see them and see some others. But we are in a roll here with David here, so we're going to continue that. We're going to take a big jump forward and go into 2 Samuel. We're going to kick it over in 16. And while we go there, while you turn over to 2 Samuel chapter 16, just kind of help you out. 1 Samuel is a lot about David being called, the big battle between David and Goliath, and a lot of there, David running from Saul quite back and forth, a lot of that. 2 Samuel is where we see most of the story of, David as king and as he reigns, and all the things that are in there. Is a little bit of division and a lot of those things. But here we also see the story that David is king, and he sits up on the throne, and he sees a beautiful woman, and the story goes that he saw this beautiful woman. She was married. He had an adulterous affair with her. She was pregnant. She ended up becoming pregnant, and so he puts her husband out on the front line, and he ends up getting killed because he wanted to hide all of that. So tonight I want to share with you a little bit about the sins that we commit. And when we commit sin, I'm telling you what, the message I preached this morning, the message I preached tonight, you're not going to hear in other churches. You might hear some of those sometimes. Not saying I'm better than that, but I'm just saying that people don't want to hear messages that are convicting. People don't want to hear messages that deal with sin. They just don't. People want to hear messages that tells them how great they are and how good they are. But tonight, we're going to be in the Bible tonight. Is that okay with you? Because y'all didn't sing too well. Y'all didn't look like you want to be here tonight. You don't sound like, look like you want to be here tonight. But I'm going to tell you, I always believe this. If you can get yourself where God's people are, and you can open up God's Word and try to work through it the best you can, you're going to come out a little bit more of a head than when you first came in. That's what I generally kind of think that. I know this, that tonight, if we look at this piece here, it is looking at someone's sin. And we know that we all have sin, that but there comes something when you are a man of God, a woman of God, and you try to hide your sin, you try to cover your sin with one thing after another, it's going to come out, okay? It's going to come out, and this was going to come out because it was foretold it was going to come out. So I want to catch you up here. He has a son named Absalom, and Absalom came over and tried to take over his kingdom and his so-called castle. And David now is... he is escaping the castle. He chooses not to fight. And so he has packed it up, and he is going in a different direction away from the castle, the fortress, his throne. And a lot of people will look at that as a defeat. Here, I want to tell you straight up front, our sins have consequences. Even though we ask Jesus to forgive us of our sins, there is consequences for the sins that we commit. It's not a freebie just to run through and you know, you commit adultery and murder by your words and all the other things that David did. It isn't just a, I'm sorry, God, and no consequences. There are consequences to the sins that we commit. And so here is one that he is beginning to, you know, it's a long, long way to the top, and it's real quick to make that drop. It really is. And so we see King David. We see him now. He is traveling. A few people have talked to him. He's got his companion. He's got his generals beside him. He's got his leaders, and they are heading out. And there's some that are left there, and now Absalom is trying to take over. Now I want to pick it up in verse 5. It's kind of weird because I don't usually preach out of this Bible. I told Carl on the way here, I left my Bible and my notes at home. It's just the way it is, though. We do that sometimes. So I had to go get another Bible and get my checkpoints, at least check my spots where I wanted to go. It says, now when David came to Berim, There was a man from the family of the house of Saul whose name was Shimei, the son of Gera, coming from there. He came out cursing continuously as he came. So here we find out that as he's leaving, here comes, he's getting down, he's getting away from the castle, he's doing his thing, and he's just heading out. And so this man comes down, and now he's starting to curse at David. He's beginning to curse at David. Verse 6 says, and he threw stones at David, and all the servants of King David, and all the people and all the mighty men were on the right hand and on his left. So this king is surrounded by his guard, by his protection, his bodyguards, but this man comes out and he's cursing David, and he's throwing stones at him. And he's going to say a few things. Now, we see a piece like that, sometimes we think, and the hits just keep on coming. I don't know if you've ever said that, but I've said that before in my life. You know, you get hit once and you think, you know what, that was a pretty good shot. And then all of a sudden you get another hit, and then you get another one, and it's almost to the point where you can become to feel sorry for yourself. But I think David knows something that these others don't. See, he knows that this is part of his sin in the past, some of the consequences of his sin, and we'll get there in a moment. So he's cursing, and he is throwing stones. He said in verse 7, he said, also, Shimei said thus when he cursed, come out, you bloodthirsty man, you rogue. The Lord has brought upon you all the blood of the house of Saul, in whose place you have reigned, and the Lord has delivered the kingdom into the hand of Absalom, your son. So now you are caught in your own evil because you are a bloodthirsty man. Now, what he's beginning to say, he is throwing stones because of the whole thing with King Saul and his family. That's not why David is going through this. This is not why David is going through this, because of what this man is saying. If we go back to chapter 12, after David commits this adultery and the sins that he's done, he's intercepted by a prophet. And I want to read some of the things here really quick in chapter 12. So it kind of helps us understand. In verse 9, he says, why have you despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight? You have killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword, and you have taken his wife to be your wife, and you have killed him with the sword of the people of Ammon. Now therefore, number one, the sword shall never depart from your house, because you have despised me and have taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be your wife. Also, it says, thus says the Lord, behold, I will raise up an adversary against you from your own household. You see, this is already foretold. This is the consequence. This is the price that David is paying for the sins that he has committed. He says, I will raise up an adversary, which is going to be his son Absalom, against you from your own house, and I will take your wives before your eyes and give them to your neighbor, and he shall lie with your wives in the sight of the sun. It also says, for you did what you did was in secret, but I will do this thing before all Israel, before the sun. So David said to Nathan, okay, so we're going to stop there for a minute. So here's the things that's going to happen. The sword's never going to depart from him. An adversary will rise up from his own household, and whatever he did in secret, this whole thing that God's going to do right out in front of the sun. It's not the S-O-N, it's the S-U-N. It's going to be right out in broad daylight. And we'll see, we don't have time to go there, but all these things are beginning to happen. So here comes this, so he's having to leave his castle, his kingdom. And so this man is out there, and he's throwing stones, and he's cursing at him. He's cursing at him, he's throwing stones. Now, this is the point where most of us would be. Then Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, said to the king, so we got one of his main guys, he says, why should this dead dog curse my lord the king? Please let me go over there and take off his head. This is a warrior. He settles things by swords and spears, okay? This guy settles things by taking a person out. They're no longer going to be a problem because he's going to put them to death. We see a lot of things. We see a lot of history. You can also go into Chronicles and see how big and how tough this guy really was. He says, let me go over there and take him out. He's cursing you. Let me go over there and let me just cut him down. Let me do that because I'm your protector. And a lot of us want to attack. We want to attack someone who is attacking us. I'm sure he didn't like what the words were being said to the king, but he also didn't like those rocks keep hitting him as well, because it just didn't hit David. It also hit some of his men. And this man just kept it on, and he kept on and kept on. And he wanted to go over there and just take him down. He wanted to take him out. But the king says, what do I have to do with you? So let him curse, because the Lord has said to him, curse David. Who then shall? Why have you done so? And David said to Bishai and all the servants, see how my son, who came from my own house, from my own body, seeks my life? How much more now may this Benjamite? Let him alone and let him curse, for so the Lord has ordered him. I don't think he told everybody what the prophet had told him, but he is reaping the consequences for his sin. But he has chosen not to retaliate. He's chosen not to retaliate. But because he says in verse 12, it may be that the Lord will look upon my affliction and that the Lord will repay me good for his cursing this day. I want to tell you that being a Christian and knowing that sometimes bad things happen and sometimes I truly still believe that God disciplines those whom he loves. And sometimes we want to take retaliation. We want to get back. We want revenge. But there's something about David that is a little bit different than most. David still has a hope, even under discipline, that God, that he will receive God's love and kindness and compassion. Because I want to go back to chapter 12 chapter 12 here. After those things were said by Nathan the prophet, it says in verse 13, so David said to Nathan, after he's told him, he says, you know what, the sword's never going to depart from you, and he lists those three things. And so David said to Nathan, he says, I have sinned against the Lord. There's something about David that is different, even than amongst a lot of us. David, when he found out that he sinned, he was very quick to confess that sin. He was very quick to confess that sin. We see even some more of that. And so David has a heart after God. So the part of having a heart after God is the knowing that when we are wrong, that we need to take care of business, that we need to repent. And so all the stuff that was in David's closet, God allowed it to come out. In all of that, David was walking now in humbleness or humility. I will tell you this, that many people have walked away from the church because of some things that they've done. And maybe that it isn't that the church put down any kind of discipline, but their sins kind of came out. I remember a few, but a sin of this person and a sin of that person kind of came out. What they've done many times is they've tried to turn it on someone else, or they walked away from the church. They walked away and they never came back because they did it in the wrong way of humility. I'm going to tell you something. Humility begins, the right kind of humility begins, it begins at getting your heart right with God. And doesn't care about all that you have. You see, if anybody had anything to lose, it was David. But also God knows that, or David knows that he was God's anointed. And so here he is leaving the kingdom, and he is being afflicted by this man with the cursing and all that is there. And after David says this, may the Lord, the Lord may repay me with good for his cursing that day. Okay? He's like, man, the Lord, the Lord can turn this all off and set me back on the right path. And as David and his men went along the road, the same guy went out along the hillside opposite of him, and he continued to curse him as he went, and he continued to throw stones and to kick the dust up. He didn't stop. Even though David said, man, may the Lord might repay me now for just goodness by taking all this guy's stuff. I'm not retaliating. I'm not retaliating against it or against him. But it says, now the Lord and all the people were with him, and they became very weary. So he comes to this place where he comes to an end, and they're just exhausted. Now I want to tell you, they're probably exhausted from the traveling, but I think they're more exhausted from this guy just keep cursing at them all day long. and throwing up the dust and throwing stones at him. I believe a lot of us here, if somebody began to do that with us, we would be right in their face yelling at them or trying to defend ourselves. I want to tell you there's three different ways that we can approach this thing. One is we can be like the attacker. If somebody that has done something against us that we feel, there's always those going to be those attackers. Those people that are always going to come up and say something to you. They don't know the whole story. They may not know, even know part of the story, but they don't like you because your name was mentioned and you were a part of it, whatever it may be. So they begin to attack you verbally, and sometimes they can attack you physically, but they attack. They attack you. Sometimes another one would be like the commander in charge. These guys here that are right there, they love to retaliate. A lot of us are retaliators. We want to come and take vengeance because, you know what? Why is somebody doing it? You do that to me, I'm going to do something to you. A lot of you are like that. A lot of your attitudes are like that. Someone does something to me, I'm going to do something back. And so we see that. But I want to tell you, those two roads, neither one of them have anything to do with humility or humbleness. Because when the thing happens to you, we always think it's the hardest thing in the world. But I want to tell you, humbleness, the walk of humbleness, even though sometimes it feels like it's a walk of shame for David as he's walking out of there, some shameful things because it all came out there, out right there in broad daylight. This is something he could not hide, and it's all out there. And I want to remind you also in this story that Bathsheba, the lady he had an adulterous affair with, had a baby, and God said that baby was going to die. So that baby did die, but I will tell you this as well, that there was pain and suffering in that area. We know that David was fasting and praying that God would not allow the baby to die, but God said the baby was going to die, and the baby died. There are times in our walk as a Christian that we feel like God is just completely against us. Everything we're praying for, everything we're working for, that God is just against us, that we're working against the grain. It just doesn't feel right. But that's what happens when we have sin in our life and we're not dealing with it, then we try to deal with it and we want it to go away real quick, and there's lessons to be learned, and God's going to clean it up, and there's some things he's going to do, and it's always more than what we know. But there's a place in here where David needed to grow up as a king. David needed to learn how to take responsibility for the decisions that he makes. We talked about that before, but here now he is a king and there's a great responsibility. And I'm sure that in the shadows of the castle that there was a lot of talk that David was messing around with this woman who was married. I'm sure there was a lot of gossip, and some of the gossip was false, but I'm sure some of it was true. I mean, God doesn't like gossip. God doesn't like these things, so God's going to deal with it. You see, I'm telling you this, if you don't clean your house, God will clean it. God will clean it. And sometimes we try to hide things. There was a particular church that I had joined, I was a part of. Some of you are part of this church as well. There were some things going on in that church that were not right. So they began to put things underneath the rug. So we began to talk about those things, and I just felt like one day I was driving to church, and I felt the Holy Spirit just say, hey, you need to come up to the pastor and you need to tell him he needs to clean the house. If you don't clean the house, God's going to take it. It was very nerve-wracking for me. I was a set-aside pastor at that time. But I went in there, and after the service, I told him, I said, listen, you can do with whatever you want. I'm kind of nervous, but I just want to tell you what I feel like the Holy Spirit's telling me, and you can take it for what you feel like it's worth. But God says, if you don't clean the house, he's going to take it. All right, I got it, and that was it. And then he kind of seemed like he blew it off. And then when I stood up, began to walk, talked to a few people, the Holy Spirit kind of told me, just, you're done here, pack it up, leave immediately. So I left immediately. So anyway, within 5 years, they had a church that was completely paid for. They had property that was paid for. And they turned around and sold all that, came to the building that we were across the street over there. It's foolishness that it was all sold because it was all paid for. But God will take those things and he will turn those and twist those. So they sold the property and they used it. They didn't purchase the building across the street, but they leased the building, the same building we were in. And so that over there, They were over there for a couple of years. And then they came over here for a couple of years. And then all of a sudden I saw a new name on the church building. And the church does not exist today. Because they wouldn't deal with the sin in that church. No, they would not deal with the sin that was in that church. There are sins sometimes in our family that we do not want to deal with, and we keep trying to bargain with God, and there is no bargaining in that. Now, you can plead with the Lord, and you can pray to the Lord, "Lord, help me work through this. I struggle in these areas." But we need to remember that we commit these sins. We need to get it right. As David says, "I have sinned before the Lord." He confessed it, that I have sinned before the Lord. And so I think sometimes even when we have to deal with the consequences. He said, "I sinned," but that didn't take those consequences away. It did not take those consequences away. I believe that if he didn't confess those sins, it would have been a whole lot worse. But he did confess that. But there is a way sometimes that God will put you on the humility road where you need to be humbled and you need to walk with humility and be humble, be a humble person. You can have all the awesome, you can look like you have all the fruits of the Spirit, and it can look like you are this, but if you don't have humility and you don't have humbleness, sometimes you're going to have an opportunity to get that in a way you don't want to get it. And sometimes it's by losing something or it feels like you've been demoted. It's an area where you have to swallow some things, a hard swallow of things that being put into your life like that. David struggles later on in his life as well when he begins to kind of get prideful and I want you to count the men. I want you to count the fighting men. And his main general said, and that dude was kind of a wicked guy. And he even knew, he goes, "I don't think that's a good thing there. I want you to do it anyway." And he ends up doing it. And next thing you know, pride filled his heart. Pride filled it. David was changing. Power will change a man. Money sometimes can change a man. Positions can change a man. And here we see a change in David. That loving man was becoming prideful. And all of a sudden, God sends out an angel, and all of a sudden we know 70,000 people get killed because of this man's sin. But what did he do? He says, "I have sinned." And he runs out and he does a sacrifice and the death stopped. But there's a difference between David. David knew that when he sinned and it came to his mind and his heart that he sinned, he felt the conviction, he dealt with it. And I'm thinking and feeling that there's so many people that don't deal with the sin that is in their life. And we need to deal with it. We need to learn how to deal with it. The Bible says that Paul says in the latter times that there's going to be a falling away. People's not going to listen to the gospel. They're going to fall away. Book of Galatians tells us that Paul says that why are you so fast switching to a different gospel, which is a new gospel, which is no gospel at all. Paul challenges Timothy, and he says, "Hey, dude, you got to stir up this flame inside of you. You know, this is kind of turned into a little bit of amber, and you were on fire for God, for Christ. But God did not give you the spirit of fear, but the spirit of power, love, and a sound mind." To walk down a road for everything that you have, and it looks like you're the loser of the day. It looked like King David was the loser of the day. Let me tell you something. Nobody's reminding him that he defeated Goliath. Nobody reminds you of your victories. Nobody's going to remind you how great you are. If you get a hit in your life, nobody's going to talk about how awesome you are. Too many people want to see you drop. Too many people want to see you not do so well. Too many people kind of gloat when they see someone not doing so well. And I'm just being honest. A lot of people will not. But when you're walking away from the things that you thought that you built, the things that you were a part of, and you're walking away from it, and it looks like you're just down and out and you're not going to make it, I want to remind you that God's not done with you. God was not done with King David. David needed to learn a lesson. David needed to learn remember what it was like not to be in that palace. He needed to get back down there and remember and be reminded what it was like to take a long walk, to deal with the common people. He needed to get out of there, and he needed how to get his heart right. So sometimes we need to walk away, but it doesn't mean that we're done. If God is disciplining you, it doesn't mean that you're done. God is still going to do a work. You just need to continue to be focused on what God is doing. What God is, and don't listen to all the other garbage that people are saying. You're always going to have stone throwers. You're always going to have people talking you down. You're always going to have people telling you what to do. Why don't you go and take care of business? You need to be, and I need to be, at this place where we can listen to that small, still voice and know the Spirit and know the voice of God that speaks to us and tells us we need to continue to move forward. The things that we work on, the things that we do individually, and if it seemed like they're going to fall one day, listen, they can fall. It could take you 10 years to get to that point, and it can look like they might fall overnight. But I can remind you that if you do it right with God, God can rebuild that thing faster than when it was created. David became a stronger king after that moment, and a little bit more after the moment. A little bit more, and he became even a stronger king. It isn't easy doing what we do. It isn't easy to be challenged in the way that we're challenged. It isn't easy to get up every day and to be the Christian that God's called us to do sometimes when we got all these voices telling us how to live our life. I don't want to come to church and people tell me how great and how awesome and how everything that I can do to make me better. Because if Jesus ain't in it, it ain't about a psychological thing for me. It's about what he is and who he is. The generals that walked with David that day, I can imagine what was going on in their head. Why in the world is our king taking all of this? All he had to say was get him. That was it. And he would have been done. But there was something different between him and the rest of the people that was in his entourage. David was coming off of the hill as a broken man. It wasn't just about the kingdom. It was about his son had betrayed the family. His son had betrayed him. You see, no one's going to hurt for your family like you. No one's going to pray for your family like you. You can talk about your grandkids, you can talk about your kids, and some people will just continue to be talkers but not very good listeners. But I want to remind you, God is still there. God still moves with you. And in that end, when God is there, and sometimes it feels like it's just you and him, and nobody else gets it. And nobody else gets it. God isn't about everybody else who gets it. It's about what are you learning when you're walking down that so-called kind of walk of shame? How am I drawing closer to God, and how am I dealing with my life, and how can I be that man that God called me to be? How can I be that woman that God's called me to be? Because if next time you get up there in that palace, you can't do it the same way. Because there will be another woman. There will be another thing. There will be this. And we don't hear him making that same sin, those sins again. It's learning and repenting from your sins. So I want to challenge you guys tonight. And not to dwell on the sins of your life. Because if they're forgiven, that's the cool part of it. God casts them as far as the east from the west and forgive them no more. He forgives those, so we don't have to bring those up. But there's sometimes things in our life where when we feel like things are going down sometimes, we feel like things aren't working, sometimes we need to take a step back and not look about who's doing what, but to look about in your own heart. Is there sin in your life that maybe that you've been kind of putting down here and you're just trying to keep it out of everyone's sight, out of his sight? But because sin will stop us from moving forward. Sin will stop you from moving forward. So I want to challenge you, and I know sin is one of the biggest topics that is not talked about much. Because we all sin. The key is, how are we dealing with that sin? And I believe that sometimes we have to get on the road of the humble road, of humility, and really take a heart check. What was this story really about? David needed to really get before God and become vulnerable without all the titles, stand before God, and get himself right before God. That's what it was. That's what it was. If we say we've lost our excitement for God, is it God's fault? Is it God's doing? I'm not saying it's sin, but I'm saying there's a part where we need to draw closer in our walk with the Lord. So let's do this. I'm going to give you an opportunity tonight. So let's just go ahead and stand. We're going to give an opportunity just from where you're at. We've already probably all felt people throw stones at us. We've probably all felt people say things at us that they shouldn't say, or maybe they had a right to say it, I don't know. But there's a part there that we need to address that. And it doesn't mean we always have to address it with retaliation, but we need to address it from here. How many times, Jesus, do we forgive? 70 times? And Jesus says 70 times 7. When Absalom was killed in battle and David was back on his throne, there was an emptiness in David. And I would tell you this, if there was a moment that David could go back and change one thing, he would have changed it. He never had that affair, and none of that would have ever happened. He wasn't crying because he was back in the throne. He wasn't crying because he got back into the palace. He was weeping because he lost his son. His sin was a part of that whole mess. And he paid a high cost for it. He paid a high cost.